for the rest of our lives, we'll be learning to lean on our precious Savior. Boy, what everlasting... They're never going to fail you. They're never going to falter. They're never going to fall. Amen. Lean on Him all day long. Amen. And you'll be perfectly fine. Let's turn in Ezekiel tonight. Ezekiel chapter number 37. Ezekiel chapter 37. Stand with me one more time, please. And I'm just going to read a couple verses here. Beginning of this chapter. Ezekiel chapter 37. The hand of the Lord was upon me. Boy, that's a good place. I tell you what, if I could spend an hour or two just preaching on that, I would. Turn me down a little bit, Samuel, please. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. Again, verse 1 says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord. I'd like to preach to you tonight a little bit on this thought, getting carried away. It's okay to get carried away.
Amen.
It's okay to get carried away. Okay, let's pray. Father, I pray for your help tonight, Lord. I want to encourage your folks. Lord, these are the faithful. These are the ones, Lord God, that are doing the work here in this church, Father, that are serving and giving, Lord God, praying and going. And Lord, except for just maybe Brother Benny, who's out sick, Lord God, this is it, Lord God. This is the core. These are the ones, Lord God, that you've put here whose hearts are knit together to this church, but Lord, more importantly, to their Savior. And I pray, Lord God, tonight you'd help me to encourage them all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Ezekiel was a priest. Ezekiel was a prophet of God. His ministry was to the nation of Israel. But listen now, while they were in Babylonian captivity, don't miss that. In the book of Ezekiel, they were already in captivity. Ezekiel's ministry had several purposes. To show the generation, now don't miss me, or don't lose me, to show the generation that was born in captivity. Because they were there for many years, so they were children born in that captivity in Babylon. Ezekiel's ministry was to show them that the sins that caused them to be there. In other words, to help those kids that were born, and the kids that didn't know any different, to realize, hey, look, this is not the way it was supposed to be. This is not how it was supposed to be. This world in which you live, this lifestyle which you're having to endure, is because of the sins of your parents. And so Ezekiel's ministry was to remind those children, hey, this is the price of sin. This is what sin costs you. His ministry was also to sustain their faith. The children, remember, the children that were born there, they didn't have anything to do with it. They were living there. They were suffering the sins of their father. And so Ezekiel was there to help sustain their faith by future promises, by telling them, hey, one day you're going to get out of here. Yeah. One day God's going to restore the nation of Israel. One day God's going to bring back the glory to Israel like it had before. And also that one day those who have oppressed you and who have held you in captivity here in exile, one day God will execute justice upon them. And so Ezekiel was busy doing that, preaching and helping those young people in this particular book. Now, let me tell you that throughout the Bible, every passage of Scripture has a very primary interpretation, but also we can make at least three applications. Don't leave me now. I don't want to bore you here, but I'm making a point here. There's a historical application, there's a doctrinal application, and then there's a practical application, and there can be any number of practical applications. So right here in chapter 37 of Ezekiel, we see the historical record, the condition of the nation of Israel while in exile. Again, look in verse 2. The Bible says, it caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and they were very dry. The valley was full of bones, according to verse 1. So the condition of the nation of Israel in exile in Babylon, listen now, was dead. You know what a dry bone is, right? A human, dry human bone is a bone that is no longer alive. It no longer has any blood. blood, any bone marrow. There's no life in it. It's dry. The Bible says they were very, look in verse 2, the Bible says they were very many and they were very dry. What does that mean? That means there was a ton of people that used to be alive, now they're dead. There was a ton of people that used to be alive, now they're not just dead, but they've been dead for a long time. Right. Very dry. So we're looking at, now the historical application is that the Bible tells us that Israel was like that, and they've been like that for a long time. But also we see later on in this chapter the promise of future restoration, as I mentioned earlier. Look in verse 11. Then said he unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy, and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and cause you to come out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live. Amen. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it, and performed it, saith the Lord. See, that's Ezekiel. That's the word of God that Ezekiel is going to preach to the people of Israel that were born in captivity. Telling them, hey, one day, don't worry about this, one day God's going to bring you back into the land of Israel. God's going to restore you back. And I love the wording here. He says, I will open your graves. I will resurrect your dead bones and bring... Because listen, there was no way, hey, there was no way that those people of God in Babylon could ever live like they were supposed to. There was no way that they could ever really be who they were created to be. They could never really bring God the glory that they wanted to or needed to, or that God deserved, because they were in Babylonian captivity. They were oppressed by the Babylonians. They were not able to live for God. They were very much oppressed. And God says, one day I'm going to raise you up out of your graves, and I'm going to put my spirit in you, in verse 14, and you shall live, and I'll put you back in your land, and you'll know, hey, I am the Lord. Praise God. So the historical record there, that we're looking at the nation of Israel having been placed in Babylonian captivity because of the sins of their fathers, but now God's promising those kids, hey, one day you're going to go back home. It's going to be like it used to be. Amen. There's also a doctrinal record here, I said. The requirements, listen, for any nation or any person to be made alive after sin's death is God's Spirit.
Right.
Look in verse 14. Remember, this was a whole lot of dead bones, and they had been dry and for a very long time. And he says in verse 14, and shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. Folks, listen to me. There is no spiritual life outside of the Spirit of God. There is no possible way you can be spiritual until you are saved. Amen. I promise you, I don't have time to go in every direction here, but there's a whole lot of reality check going on right there. When I just said there's a whole lot of people in this country today who are trying to act and live and be spiritual, and they don't have the Spirit of God. They've never been regenerated. They've never been born again. But listen to me, it also requires the Spirit of God to revive you. It also requires the Spirit of God to revive you after you've been saved, but you've allowed yourself to go into captivity. You've allowed yourself to walk in, because listen, you have the option to live for God or live for self. You have the option to live for God or live for the world. And once you decide you're going to go live for the world, listen to me, you will die spiritually. You will die spiritually. You will be dry bones. You will be dead bones. You will be worthless for God. You will never bring God glory. And you chose yourself to walk over and leave the race, like we talked about on Wednesday nights, leave the righteous race and go over to the rat race. But listen to me, if you're ever going to be revived, if you're ever going to be restored, it's going to require the Spirit of blessed God Almighty.
Amen.
Yeah. You can't just bring yourself back. You can't just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and all of that good stuff you hear out there. We need God's Spirit. The need for the breath of God to resuscitate a dead man, to revive a dead man. Listen, to help us restore our lives back to where we used to be in blessed communion with God. But there's also a practical application here. The practical application we're going to spend on here today, tonight, the historical record was Israel was in captivity, but God says you're going to get out. The doctrinal record is it takes God's Spirit to help anybody, whether it be salvation or revival. But the practical application I'm going to make here tonight is this. One man getting carried away by the Spirit of God and what he can accomplish. One man getting carried away by the Spirit of God. Now, Ezekiel was there with them in captivity, but Ezekiel wasn't part of those dry bones. You understand that, right? Ezekiel was, the Bible says in verse 1, it uses the word carried me out in the Spirit. But I just want to take that phrase, carried me away, if you will, for a minute, because to go out is to go away from where you're at, okay? So to be carried away, let me just give you a little definition here. To be greatly influenced. Sometimes we just get carried away when we get excited about something. We get carried away when we get excited about something that we heard or we've done or we've seen, or we get excited about just thinking about what we're going to get to do tomorrow. Amen, Brother Chris. I know you just get carried away when you think about going to school on Monday morning, right? Amen. That's not what I'm talking about, amen. But when it comes Saturday night gets, and you get to get carried away thinking about, I get to go to church tomorrow. I get to go to Sunday school. Amen. You get carried away. It's okay, amen, to get carried away. I'm talking about it here, to be greatly influenced, even to the point of getting beside yourself. Sometimes you get so excited about something, you just start to act silly. Anybody? Not just, okay. You just start to get giddy a little bit, amen. Giddy up, amen. And you just start to get a little bit silly. Wouldn't it be great if we just had one person, or just one more person, get carried away by the Spirit of God? Amen. To get excited about the Spirit of God, to get excited about the Bible, to get excited about living for the Lord, to get excited about church, to get excited about winning souls, to get excited about preaching the gospel, to get excited about being a gospel witness, to get excited about going to heaven, amen? And to get carried away, living for God, to get carried away in this whole rotten world. People today, they don't have any joy, amen? They don't have any excitement. They don't have any thrill. Nothing carries them away except for the carnality in this filthy world. They get all giddy about that junk, amen. I'm talking about getting carried away by the Spirit of God. Yep. It's okay. It is okay to get carried away, y'all. Now, I'm not going to try to make y'all get carried away, but it'd be all right if you'd help me a little bit while I'm preaching this, amen, because I'm trying to get carried away by the Spirit of God, and I need you to be at least on board with me, okay, while I'm preaching this, okay? Thank you, amen. I'm not trying to make this to be my flesh get carried away. I want the Holy Spirit to get involved in this thing and carry us away for a little while here tonight. Listen, it'd be a wonderful thing if one more person got carried away by the Spirit of God. It's just another way, looking. It's just another way of saying, well, another person just to get filled with God's Spirit.
Yeah. Amen.
I mean, just to get filled with God's Spirit. When I'm filled with God's Spirit, He's leading.
All right.
Look what it says here. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord.
Amen.
What does that mean? That means when I get filled with the Spirit of God, He's leading, I'm just getting carried away.
Amen.
When I get filled with the Spirit of God, amen, I'm telling you, this is a great, there is so much need for this today. Learning to lean on Jesus. Learning to lean is where I no longer follow what I want to follow. And I say, Lord, You lead me. You just carry me, and I'll just get carried away by Your Spirit. I'll just get carried away by what You're doing and who You are and Your grand, glorious, almighty power. I'll just get carried away by Your majesty there and Your salvation and Your Spirit and Your Lord, the Lord God Almighty, living in me. I'll just get carried away. There's a lot of good things getting involved with getting carried away. It's okay, y'all.
Amen.
To get carried away by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
I think we have this idea today that we can't get too excited about the things of God. I think that's foolishness. I think that's the devil's playground when you get scared to get carried away in church. Listen to me, man. Man, you need to learn. Hey, we used to have a church that was a shouting amen church. See, listen, you know, I couldn't get a grunt out of you this morning. I couldn't get a grunt out of you that were out here this morning. Nobody said a word. Maybe an amen here, an amen there. Listen to me. These people that come into this church, and they come in on Sunday mornings, and they're not carried away by the Spirit of God. They're not carried away even enough to come to church more than 1 hour a week. Listen, they need to see God's people get carried away in the Spirit of God and stop catering to their deadness. Their deadness is not going to help us. Their deadness is not going to make this church better. We got to be carried away by the Spirit of God and just go ahead and say, amen, glory to God. Preacher, preach it right there. That's what I like. Amen. I'm talking about just getting carried away. Now, ladies, I'm not going to pick on you. I don't mind if you get carried away. Amen. Just don't stand up and start dancing around in the aisles. Then they don't have to be careful. It's okay to get carried away, but you got to be careful when you get carried away. Is that okay? Amen. But there's a lot of blessings, amen, of being carried away by the Spirit of God. And I'm going to look at some spiritual blessings here. Look in verse 2. One of the things here that Ezekiel, when he got carried away, he saw the severity of the situation. He saw the real problem. This was no joke, dearly beloved. This was a whole lot of dead people who had been dead for a very long time. I want you to notice where they're at in verse 1. They're in the valley.
Right.
Hmm. Isn't it amazing how that's usually where most people die? Is when they get in a valley.
Yep.
Things aren't going like they used to. I'm not riding the mountaintops. Most people don't die on the Lord and give up on God when they're on the mountaintop. When they die and give up on God and they spiritually dry up and become a prune, amen, and a dead bones and dead man is when they're down in the valley and God's testing and trying their faith.
Yeah.
Notice where these folks are down in the valley, and then the Bible says they never got out of that valley.
Yeah.
They're down in that valley and now their bones are dried up. And it's sad, but it's that there's very many of them. Oh, if we could see a picture of the valley in America today and all of the God's people who are now there dried up and just laying there dormant, just waiting for glory. Doing nothing. Absolutely dead. And see, Ezekiel was not one of them, but when he got carried away in the Spirit of God, when he got filled with God's Spirit, he saw there's a problem here. There's a real need here. We can't just let it stay like this for the rest of eternity. We've got to do something about this. Very many bones, very many dry bones, an entire nation of Israel, a great number of dead people, very dry. They haven't had any marrow in them for a long time. They haven't had any life in them for a long time. This was a serious matter. Look in verse 3. He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? Now God's asking his preacher, is there any hope for this situation?
Yeah.
And I answered, oh Lord God, thou knowest.
Amen.
He said, oh God in heaven, God said, Ezekiel, is there anything we can do about this? And Ezekiel's like, are you kidding, God? You know, if you don't do it, it ain't going to happen.
Right.
Something, amen, like only God knows. That's the way I feel about Denton. That's the way I feel about Little Elm. That's the way I feel about America. Americans are dead. They don't want any more preaching. They don't want anything spiritual. Their minds and their hearts are so filled with the foolishness and filth of this world. Amen. And I said, God, is this ever going to work? And God said, well, I don't know, is it? Don't ask me. You've got to do this, God. Ezekiel was perplexed. I mean, he saw something he'd never seen before. He was looking at a wasteland of what used to be a nation of God's people. A wasteland. We stand looking at this nation every day, and many times we don't even see it. We don't understand the severity because we're not looking at it filled with the Spirit.
Yeah. All right.
Jeremiah 6:16, remember the Bible says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see.
Yeah.
And ask for the old paths, where is the good way?
Yeah.
And then he says, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein.
Yeah.
God says, you know, if you just stop and look. Look around. Look through the eyes of the Holy Spirit and see what's really happening in America. People that used to be on fire for God are dead. Dried up. Dead. And we don't even see it because we're on the way to die ourselves. Ezekiel was carried away in the Spirit, and he was looking, and Lord, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And understand something. When somebody stands up and starts saying, you know what? We need revival in America, people laugh at them. Why would we need revival? We've got church on every corner. We've got masses of crowds going to Joel Osteen's church and Benny Hinn's and all of those fools. We've got all kinds of people flooding football stadiums for Billy Graham crusades. But dearly beloved, we need real spiritual revival.
Amen.
That That's what we need. Yeah. But see, we're not going to see it until we step back and get out of our flesh and out of our foolish mentality of carnality and realize the Spirit of God is showing me there's a real spiritual dearth in America. America's dead.
Amen.
Dead. They laugh at it. They laugh at us. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. It's no big deal. Listen, they're carried away by sin. I'm talking about being carried away by the Spirit of God. When we get carried away by the Spirit of God, it's not going to be exciting yet. It's going to start with this step right here. It's not going to be exciting yet. What it's going to be is it's going to be an eye-opening understanding of the reality of this situation. There is an amazing problem, huge, gigantic, enormous problem in our country, in our cities, in America. Nobody wants preaching anymore. Nobody wants the King James Bible anymore. Nobody wants the songs like Learning to Lean on Jesus.
Amen.
But see, it's going to start where we see the reality of the situation. See the severity, how real this problem is. It's going to start where we start seeing things through the eyes of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't turn over there for sake of time, but Matthew chapter 9 has been on my heart. We read it this morning, but this. At the end of that chapter, Jesus was teaching and preaching in their cities, and he looked and beheld the multitudes, the Bible says, and he had compassion on them, for they were sheep having no shepherd. And he says, the harvest, he says to his disciples, you and me, he says, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. He says, pray ye the Lord of the harvest. He'll send forth laborers into his harvest.
Amen.
We don't see it that way. We don't see it that way. We cannot be content. Listen, we cannot be content. If we're going to be right with God, if we get carried away by the Spirit of God, we can't be content, amen, just letting people die and go to hell, just letting the Word of God die. Somebody's got to take this torch. Hey, listen, those kids this morning, they were kids, weren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, my girls are as old as those missionaries were today. I thought, Lord, I'm either getting old or missionaries are getting younger. And I think it's both. But my wife said, that's the next generation. Praise God. At least somebody's willing to serve the Lord even at that age. And I thought, yes, indeed. Amen. But I just realized, man, I'm not going to be here forever.
Sure.
I'm not going to be here forever.
Amen.
But you know, there's still hope, but there's not nearly as many of those young couples willing to go serve the Lord as there was when I was that age. And even less than when it was every generation, there's fewer. Why? Because people aren't carried away by the Spirit of God. They don't walk in the Spirit of God. They don't see the severity of the need. All they do is get focused, like we talked about in there a minute ago, the God of their belly, amen, and how they can get fatter and dumber and happier and let the world go to hell in a handbasket. But the Holy Spirit of God will start changing our eyesight. And we'll get care. It's okay, guys. It's okay. Oh, man.
Come on, pray. Amen.
It's okay. It's okay to weep.
Amen.
It's okay to get heartbroken over souls.
Amen.
Here's that Elizabeth's boyfriend, where Brittany's sitting this morning, and he walked out of here lost. And I know there was a language barrier, but there's just so many people like that. I just don't think we walk close enough to God. We were out soul winning yesterday morning, and Brother Max and Evan met a man named Billy. And they said he just started weeping when they were talking to him about the Lord. And but listen, he didn't darken the door today. He didn't darken the door today. Now listen, you know what? As the Lord smites my heart right about now, last night I should have been on my face weeping for that man.
Amen.
I wasn't. we're not weeping like we used to. We don't see things like we need to. We're not consumed with serving the Lord and walking in His Spirit. Because see, when Ezekiel saw this, he said, oh my Lord, oh my God. If anything happens, I mean, he was heartbroken. Ezekiel saw the severity when he got carried away. Number two, he heard the solution. Hey man, this is going to get better, y'all. It's going to get better. But it's got to start there, though. Don't jump over that. It's got to start right there. We've got to see the way, see God, we see people the way God sees them. We've got to weep over them. I'm not just talking about the lost, but even our backslidden brethren, our brethren that used to be sitting here with us, amen, and on fire, but now, you know, they've slipped away, and they're out somewhere rotting in a valley somewhere now themselves. Listen, we've got to see that. The second thing then, though, he saw the severity, but then he, getting carried away in the Spirit of God, he heard the solution. Amen. Verse 3 says, "He, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest." Man, my heart's broken right now. I'm sorry, y'all. Verse 4. "Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord." What's the solution? This is what he said, amen. People, God's people, aren't hearing the answer to the problems because they're not getting carried away by the Spirit of God. Ezekiel was the only one that we can tell in that whole nation, in that whole situation. He was one man who heard. The solution is, buddy, you got to preach. You got to preach. What, Lord? I mean, he heard the solution. He didn't try to come up with his own solution. He didn't try to make his own way. He said, God said, you have got to prophesy upon these bones and tell them to hear the word of the Lord. He said, this is the answer. Listen, we're not hearing the solution. We're not getting carried away like we need to. I'm talking about spiritual hearing, understanding what the Spirit of God is saying. It comes only from the Spirit of God. When we're filled with the Spirit of God, then we can hear what the Spirit has to say to the churches. I'm not talking about some type of emotional workup of our flesh. I'm talking about hearing from God. God speaking in that still small voice to our hearts and telling us, this is what we've got to do. Understand the solution here. Churches aren't preaching anymore like they used to. They're not preaching, amen, the Bible like they used to. Christians aren't hearing the Word of God like they need to. And listen to me, and nothing's going to change until they do.
That's right.
Understand something. We can't hear from the Spirit of God, though, when we're filled with the spirit of this world.
That's right. Come on.
Psalm 63, we use it in Sunday school. We'll be right back, but look over there real quick with me. Psalm 63, verse 1. O God, hear the heart of our psalmist David here in verse 1 of Psalm 63. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. Folks, what does that mean? That means my soul is not thirsting for anything else in this world.
Right.
That means my soul is not finding its thirst quenched by anything else in this world. You understand, water is very good for us.
Amen.
I'm not going to preach on that, but understand something. Water is life.
Right.
Water will solve so many health issues in America that a stinking narcotic never will.
Yeah.
But here's what happens. People drink Coke.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not thirsty. And that's not doing anything but destroying the body.
Right.
If they'd stop drinking all that foolish soft drink and all of that junk, they'd be thirsty for what they need. And water, cold glass of water, is only going to taste good when you're thirsty.
Right.
He says, my soul longeth, thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. He said, I can't find anything in this world to quench my thirst. Do you see what he's saying there in Psalm 63? I can't find anything in this world to quench my thirst. Folks, there is nothing in this world. But that's what we've got to get back to understanding. There is nothing in this world that's going to quench our spiritual thirst like the water, the living water of God's Word, God's Holy Spirit, the flowing out of our belly, like Jesus said in John chapter 7, that there's nothing going to quench our thirst. There's no comparable substitute in this world.
Amen.
But God's people are filled with so many things. And the water that they need, by the way, when a dry bone first begins drying up, you know what it lacks?
Water.
Water!
Yep.
I mean, just Coke doesn't do that. I know, I preached that message whenever that was. The real thing was a Coke. My kids have been drinking Coke ever since. Praise God. I think they're trying to say something, Dad. We respect, but you can't replace water with Coke. Okay, that's not what I was trying to say. I was trying to say that. I don't know if I maybe backfired on me a little bit, but you can't replace water. You've got to drink water. You've got to have that, what God has made for our bodies is that spiritual water of God's Spirit, this precious book, the living water of His Word, amen, or else your bones are going to dry up.
Amen.
Ezekiel heard the solution. They need to hear the Word of God.
Amen.
They need to hear the Word of God. But you're not going to thirst for the Word of God when you're filled with everything else.
Amen.
You're not. See, we hear it so many times, but since we're filled with so many other things, we don't understand it. It doesn't really... so many times I wonder, why is it that I just preached on that, and then the next day I find out somebody went out and did it? Or, you know, I told my wife, I said, I think I'm just going to preach one message every single service until I see everybody really gets it.
Yeah.
I think maybe sometimes, have you ever been to those meetings, camp meetings, revivals, where they got two or three preachers in one night? And you think, and my wife hates those. Not because she hates preaching, but we leave those meetings and she said, good night, I can't absorb all that. It's like, it's too much.
Yeah.
And you hear three different messages and they're all about an hour long. That's okay. One, but maybe 3 hours and they're all on different subjects and topics and you're trying to absorb and trying to apply it. And you're like, overload. Anybody else feel like that sometimes? Is it just me? It's just my wife. It's just my wife, I guess. But the thing is, you see, but we've got to get to a place where we need the Word of God, but so many times we don't understand it. We don't let it sink in. We don't let it, and just like we've been talking about in the 5 o'clock hour, there's so many other things that enter in and devour it.
Yep.
They tear it out. But that's our fault.
Right.
That's our fault. We don't protect it from those thorns of this world. The thorns that come in, the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, the pleasures of this world. We don't protect it from those things. The Bible says, the Lord giveth wisdom, out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. God gives it, and we have a book full of it. So why do we have a nation that doesn't understand it? Why do we have a nation that wants to go to every other version? Because they're full of junk!
That's right.
I don't understand that old King James Bible. That's why I don't read it. No, dearly beloved, you don't understand it because you don't read it. You don't read it because you don't understand it. See, they're getting it all backwards. They're saying, well, I don't read that because I don't understand it. No, the problem is you don't understand it because you won't read it. There's a big difference there. And the truth of the matter is, it's not of this world. It's not supposed to sound like a street gang member of slang. It's God's Word.
Yeah.
There's a reason it's different.
Amen.
There's a reason it sounds different. There's a reason it resonates in a different tone. There's a different power involved when it's preached and thundered out by God's man. Listen, it's God's word.
Yeah.
Let's see if we don't understand it. And there, that's why we have 200 plus versions of it. Because everything else has crept in and ripped out what God was trying to tell us. And now we got God's people coming to church. God's people coming to church. And the preacher's preaching. And they're wondering, what did he just say? Now, I'm not a deep preacher. And I do that on purpose. Really, I do. I mean, I read books of preachers from days gone by. Years and years. Especially those guys from England. I'm thinking, whoa. This is deep. If I tried to preach like this, everybody would be snoring in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
We don't have that generation. We don't have people who are well read and sit around and read books and study encyclopedias. And then we have a TV watching generation. And our brains are dumb. And God's word is higher than anything in this world. His thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. And listen, every generation's thoughts are getting dumber and dumber. Now, I'm not being unkind. I'm just being real. When we get carried away with the Spirit, we see this is a real problem. But the solution is still the same.
That's right.
It's the word of God. But we've not only got to hear it, we've got to let God help us understand it.
Right.
Look in Job chapter 28. Job 28. I hope y'all are okay tonight, amen. It's okay to get carried away, amen. Job 28 verse 12. Job 28 verse 12. But where shall wisdom be found? But where is the place of understanding? Man knoweth not the price thereof, neither is it found in the land of the living. The depth saith, it's in me, it's not in me. The sea saith, it's not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold. You can't buy it. Neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. It cannot be valued with the gold of Ophir, with the precious onyx, or the sapphire. The gold and the crystal cannot equal it. And the exchange of it shall not be for jewels of fine gold. God is making a point here. There is nothing in this world that even comes close to the value of this book.
Amen.
No mention shall be made in verse 18 of coral, pearls, for the price of wisdom is above rubies. The topaz of Ethiopia shall not equal it, neither shall it be valued with pure gold. Whence then cometh wisdom? Where is the place of understanding? Seeing it is hid, look now, it is hid from the eyes of all living and kept close from the fowls of the air. Destruction and death say, we've heard the fame thereof with our ears. We've heard of it. God understandeth the way thereof. He knoweth the place thereof. He looketh to the ends of the earth and seeth under the whole heaven to make the weight for the winds, and he weigheth the waters by measure when he made a decree for the rain and a way for the lightning of the thunder. Then did he see it and declare it. He prepared it, yea, he searched it out. And unto men he said, this is what God says, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom.
Amen.
Now look now, and to depart from evil is understanding.
Amen.
What God just said in a whole lot of verses, and I read them all on purpose, because he's making a point, because there's a big problem that everybody's chasing after everything this world offers, and everything this world says is so valuable, and so important, and so wonderful, and money, 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 almighty dollar, and God says, that's never going to do it.
Right.
You've got to have the fear of the Lord and depart from evil.
Right.
Amen.
I mean, man will do anything and everything under the sun to make a dollar. Christians. Well, saved people. Why? Because they don't fear the Lord. See, the fear of the Lord is to depart from evil. That's it. That's what it is. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs 9:10. But see, when Ezekiel got carried away, he saw this is a big problem, and he heard God's solution. The solution was they need more Bible.
Yeah, man.
Well, so that probably means I need more Bible.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
Because my bones are just like their bones, and if I don't keep them lubricated with the living water of this precious book, not just hearing it, but understanding it through God's one that gives it, amen, we have to have His Spirit to understand it. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God.
Right.
They're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. Well, that doesn't just apply to lost people. Us too. We've been saved, but we still have to have a spiritual discernment to understand this book so that we can not just hear it, but receive it, understand it, and use it. The water has to get in there, and then it has to get into the water, and not just through your mouth, but into the bones. Ezekiel saw the severity, go back if you will now, of the situation. He heard the solution of the Savior, and he spoke. Look in verse 7 now. So I prophesied as I was commanded. Now listen. Get the picture here before I go any further. He did exactly what God said. He obeyed God's word. That's how I know he understood it. Okay? Right? That's how I know he realized how severe this was. That's how I know how he understood this was a real deal. Why? Listen, let me make this statement. We do what we want to do because we believe it's the best thing to do. It's the easiest thing to do. Right? In other words, what we believe controls what we do.
Right?
It makes a difference what you really believe. If you really believed... If you really believed that that sinner could drop off into eternity with one more breath and he will burn in hell forever. If we really believe that, and if it was that real to us, every time we saw somebody, we would see them differently. If we really believed that as soon as I die and this rapture takes place and we go to heaven, I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm going to be judged for what I did with the salvation He gave me. If we really believe that, listen, if we really believe that, we would live our lives differently. You know why we have so many dead bones? People don't believe that stuff.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know why they don't believe it? Because they're not hearing it anymore.
Right.
Because they're not in the Bible anymore. And their bones are drying up.
Yeah.
And a dead man's bones is never going to preach the gospel to anybody.
That's right.
Come on. Read.
A dead man is already dead. He's never going to be able to come. God's Spirit, we said earlier, is the only hope that he has.
Amen.
See, Ezekiel believed what God said. How do I know? Because he did it. Now listen, don't miss this. In spite of his common sense.
Yeah. All right.
Amen.
Regardless of what everything else looked like. Get this. Nobody was around him to listen.
Right.
They had no ears. They were dead bones.
Right.
Ears, there's no
right.
There's no bone in this ear. I'm gonna rip it off. There's no ears. Nobody's around to applaud him. Nobody's around to say, good job, Ezekiel. Nobody's saying amen. Now, don't y'all take that for it. That's not a good example. Thank you. They don't have any mouths. They don't have any hands to say, good job, Ezekiel. We appreciate that. They don't have any eyes to even to glare at him.
Right.
Amen.
Not that y'all do that. They don't have any hands to give an offering.
Oh, free.
You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. It didn't make a bit of sense to stand out there and preach to a bunch of dry, dead bones.
Yeah.
And brother, I tell you, I know exactly. But listen, so do you.
Oh.
So do you. Hello. Good afternoon. My name is Pastor Father. This is my wife, Melissa. We're from Amazing Grace Baptist Church. And we're here to tell you today about the Lord Jesus Christ. And do you go to church anywhere? And you know what you see? Dead bones.
Yeah, that's right.
You know exactly what I'm talking about. America is dried up. People who are even supposedly saved will rail on you and chew you out. Yesterday, some tough guy just absolutely railed on my precious little wife. Now, y'all know my wife.
Amen.
She's the sweetest thing under God's blue heaven. Green earth. On God's green earth. Under God's blue sky. She's the sweetest thing God ever made. She's not going to argue. And this man just started railing on her and calling her names and accusing her of everything. And he said he was saved. That's what I'm talking about. It makes absolutely no sense to keep preaching the gospel to these people. It makes no sense to keep prophesying and telling, thus saith the Lord. It makes no sense. They're not thanking you. They're not patting you on the back. Amen. But this is what God says we've got to do. And if we get carried away in the Spirit, we will do it. We will keep doing it. And we will do it until we die. Because it's what America needs. We need some old-fashioned preaching of this book. We need to let people know what God has already said, and they can like it or they can lump it, but it's still right. It's still God's word. And it's okay, Brother Josh, to get carried away.
Amen.
It's okay just to keep on preaching. Amen. It's okay because what God said they need. It's what God said is going to make a difference. Listen, I don't think we're going to ever see a nationwide revival, glory to God, but there's still somebody out there who's going to hear the words of the Lord, and God's going to convict their desperate, sinful, wicked hearts, and they're going to be converted, amen, gloriously born again, amen, but they've got to hear the word of God.
Yeah.
They've got to hear the truth. But it's going to take you and me getting carried away by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
I mean, imagine how crazy Ezekiel looked out there.
Right.
Preaching. Now, this is a great valley. The Bible says, very large valley, full of very many bones, and they were very dry. What hope was there?
Oh.
Yeah. Humanly speaking, how dumb did he look? How dumb did he look? There's nobody looking. They're all dead. They're all dried up bones. But just imagine somebody walking by on the next street over. Hey, man, what is this idiot doing? What does he think he's doing? What good is that going to do? Right?
Yeah.
Ezekiel was just obeying God's solution.
Amen.
That's why I'm trying to get. It's okay to get carried away.
Amen.
They've got to hear the word of the Lord.
That's right.
They've got to hear the truth. God said, Ezekiel, you're going to go preach. You're going to go prophesy. Thus saith the Lord. In verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. But he believed what God said, and he spoke out and preached the word of God in spite of all common sense, in spite of all rationale, in spite of anybody else in around him or what they thought about him. He was just obeying the solution God gave him for the problem that he saw. It goes back to that, by the way. If we don't even see the problem,
right?
If we don't even see the problem, we're not going to worry about the solution, and we're certainly not going to preach the gospel.
Right?
Now, you listen to me. It's okay to get carried away. We need some old-fashioned carried away Christians, amen?
Amen.
Carried away by the Spirit of God. And he just told them what God said. He calls them to hear the word of the Lord. We can't stop preaching this book. We can't stop soul winning. We can't stop knocking doors. We can't stop handing out old-fashioned gospel tracts. Amen. Jesus still saves, glory to God. Jesus is still the answer. He's still the living word of God. Amen. We can't quit inviting them to church. Forget common sense. Forget what everybody else says. Quit getting carried away by your flesh and your feelings and get carried away by the Spirit of God and do what God says.
Amen.
Or else, listen, or you're going to dry up.
Yes.
Yeah. Or you're going to dry up. Amen. Ezekiel saw the severity of the Spirit of God. It broke his heart. I have to believe, because he said, oh Lord God, how is this going to work? Is there any hope? But then he heard the solution because he was listening to God. He was walking with God. And he did what God said in spite of his common sense. Now listen now. The glorious solution, the glorious, end of this story is he saw a revival.
Amen.
Amen. See, we want revival, don't we?
Amen.
Oh, we talk about it. We sing about it. But it don't start with revival. It starts way back over here with you and me getting carried away by the Spirit of God. See, he saw God do something miraculous. Look in verse 10. So I prophesied as he commanded me. That's it. And the breath came unto them. That's the Spirit of God. And they lived and they stood up on their feet. Look, an exceeding great army. All of a sudden, Ezekiel's not alone anymore. All of a sudden, Ezekiel's no longer by himself. All of a sudden, Ezekiel's no longer standing looking like a blooming idiot. Amen. He's got a whole soldier, an army of God's soldiers marching towards the cross and preaching the gospel. There's a great revival. Something happened that day, and all Ezekiel did was get carried away in the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Preach the gospel. You know what a blessing it would be, amen, to get about every one of these seats filled up with people who were carried away by the Spirit of God. But you know, it ain't going to happen just because we want it to happen. It ain't going to happen just because it would sound good or look good. It's going to be you and me getting carried away by the Spirit of God and preaching the gospel to them, whether it looks stupid or not, whether you feel like it or not, because that's the only hope they have. God can do something. God can do something, amen. God can do something. You've got to believe it. We've got to believe it.
Amen.
Wouldn't it be great to have a church full of soldiers in the army of God? Wouldn't it be great to have an army full of soul winners knocking doors on these streets every week? I'm in an army. I love the fact that we have 13, 14, 15. I love that. That's a blessing to my heart. That's more than big churches have. You don't understand that. You've never been there. But that's more than big churches have. Why? Because they're dried up. Because they're dried up. But we can't stop. We can't quit. We can't let down. Wouldn't it be great? You say, well, God, is God ever going to do it? Listen to me. I assure you he's not going to do it if we quit. Oh, wouldn't it be great to have a real Salvation Army out there again? Not that junk over there.
Amen.
That used to be a, William Booth used to be a soul winner, and that's where he got that name, Salvation Army. They were an army of salvation, gospel preaching witnesses, but not anymore. They dried up. They dried up. Amen. Wouldn't it be great to see gospel tracts everywhere you went? These gospel tracts, amen. And it doesn't have to be these, but, you know, I've never seen any other ones. It'd be great. Everybody in Denton say, you know, I got one of those. Yeah, I got one of those. I love it when I ask people, have you got one of these yet? And some of them say, yeah, I have. Where was I the other day? Oh, I can't remember where I was. I was somewhere. Anyway, I went to a little store or something. Where was it? Some little girl cashier said, yeah, I did get one of those. I know what it was. It was up here at this natural grocery store, amen. And I said, you get one of these yet? And she said, yeah, I did get one of those. Oh, I said, praise the Lord. It was probably a nice, beautiful little red-headed lady that gave you this, wasn't it? And she said, well, I don't remember that. I don't care. Just, I'm glad you got it.
Amen.
But listen, that's amazing.
Yeah.
It wasn't that same day either. But she remembered getting one of these.
Amen.
Wouldn't it be great that everybody in this city remembered getting one of these?
Amen.
Now, I don't know what God can do with it or what God's going to do. But the fact of the matter is, we've got to keep telling them. We've got to keep handing it out. We've got to keep preaching the gospel. That's the solution for the dry bones.
Amen.
No, it's not a fairy tale. It looks like a fairy tale when you look at it, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like a fairy tale. You're crazy, Ezekiel. Go get a job. Mm-hmm. Well, wait a minute. I just read to you all the value of gold in Job compared to this book. wisdom and understanding. I've got the greatest job in the world. I'm a soul winner for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I'm a gospel preacher. The Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And he says, ye shall be witnesses. You know what that means? That means when you're filled with the Spirit, you will be a witness.
Amen.
It doesn't mean you'll be a witness if you feel like it. It says, when you really get filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, you will be a witness.
Amen.
You shall be witnesses. Isn't that a great thing?
Amen.
So when we stop witnessing, it's because we're not walking with the Spirit, in the Spirit, filled with God's Spirit. There's so much need, and it looks so overwhelming, and it looks desperately hopeless. Imagine how Ezekiel felt. But boy, look in 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm almost done. Imagine how Ezekiel felt. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. First Timothy 1:18, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them, what's he talking about? By those prophecies, by the words of God, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. What am I saying? I'm saying this, our warfare is using this precious book right here.
Yeah.
By these prophecies, by the things that God has already said, we're going to keep warring. Look what it says, a good warfare.
Yeah.
Folks, we've got what we need. We've got an overwhelming situation. But look in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look what he says here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness. Boy, I think that defines Ezekiel, don't you? Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No, look at verse 4 now. No man. Hey, I don't care who you are. That says no man that warreth with those prophecies, that preaches that book, that's enduring hardness, that's fighting for God's glory. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Why? Because he'll dry up.
Yeah.
Gets entangled with everything that this world starts throwing his way. Don't you think that the more you preach the gospel, the more you go soul winning, don't you think there's going to be more and more tangled webs thrown your way? Get a grip. Understand that's how the devil works.
Right.
No man that warreth is going to entangle himself with the affairs of this life. Why? So he can please, so he can honor, so he can glorify him that's chosen him to be a soldier.
Yeah.
God, listen to me. God chose you.
Amen.
I didn't choose you. I just preached the gospel to you like I do to everybody else. And somebody preached the gospel to you. But listen, God chose you now, saved you, gave you that opportunity, that privilege to be a soldier, to put on the whole armor of God, amen, to put on that uniform. It's not the United States Army. It's not the United States Marines. It's not the United States Navy even, glory to God. It's God's army. And God said, I've chosen you. If you want to please me, go preach the gospel.
Amen.
Preach the gospel. It's going to be hardness. Endure hardness as a good soldier. Why? Because that's the only hope we have. That's the only hope we have. We have to keep proclaiming, preaching, prophesying, testifying, telling them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now don't forget, a great army. Listen, now that was a national revival. I'm not going to say that America's going to see that. But boy, could we not fill this church?
Amen.
I mean, that's not a nation. That's one church.
Amen.
Could we not, the ones that are here at least, get carried away?
Amen.
Understanding this is the answer. Preach. Preach that book. Preach the words of God.
Yeah.
Preach the gospel. Keep telling them. Keep preaching. Keep preaching. Listen to me. God can raise up an army.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. I'm looking. I don't know if it's going to happen, but I'll tell you one thing. I will tell you this. 7+ years ago, the only army I had was my wife and my children. And many times, it was all that we had to go out and knock doors. I remember when we were over there in that storefront. Some of you remember that? Brother Shazer, Miss Mary Jane? We were over there at that storefront, and it was time to go soul winning on Saturday mornings. I think it was before Brother Shazer got here. Anyway, I'm done. This is just an illustration, but this town was but evil. There was such an oppression here. This was back when we first got started. It's not as bad now, understand, because we've been plowing the fields and plowing the fields and plowing the fields and planting the seed and preaching. It's not as bad now. Listen, it makes a difference. Now, it's going to take a few years for Little Elm to get like that, but Little Elm is where this was when we started. But understand something. My son and me, I think it was, or maybe it was like two or three of us, would go out soul winning on Saturday. All we had was our family at that time. And my wife and a couple of the girls would stay back and pray. Because, listen, one time we were out, all of us just went out. And it was a Saturday morning, it's 10:30, 11 o'clock. And we knocked on this apartment door, and I was with Samuel, I think, and two of the girls, and then Mom and one of the girls. Anyway, I can't remember exactly how it worked, but Brittany was talking at this door. I was around the corner, and I could hear the voices, but I didn't see anything. And I heard this man start yelling. Well, my kids were little. I mean, Samuel was, and this was 7 years ago. They were all still kind of small. And I heard this man yelling. And I'm thinking, what's going on? So I quickly finished up with whoever I'm talking to. Goodbye, see you later. Here's a track. And I came around the corner. And there was a grown man, a drunk man, it's Saturday morning. It's like 11 o'clock. And yelling. I mean, yelling in Brittany's face. Little bitty girl. Man, I tell you what, Brother Worcester, it was all I had, not to just body slam that idiot, but I bust in between him and Brittany, and I talked him away, and I said, from now on, you're going to stay at church, and me and Samuel, we're going to go soul winning. He said, what am I saying? I'm saying, look, that's how we started, and during those days, I thought, Lord, this is hopeless. I'm never going to make a difference in this town. But you know, now we have people coming out every Saturday. And you know what? Compared to me and my little family, my little kids, that's an army back there that comes out every Saturday and goes soul winning, handing out preaching gospel. I mean, y'all were doing it all week long at workplaces and school. And I'm thinking, hallelujah, Lord, you did it. You did it, you did it, you did it. But listen, there's a whole lot more work to be done. I'm just using that as an illustration. God has, compared to what we started with, God has raised up an army. Amen. And we're making a lot more difference than we used to. But listen, we can still do more. We've got to do more. We've got to we can't give up. It's overwhelming. It looks impossible. Listen, but God says, this is the solution for the dry bones.
Amen.
Keep preaching the gospel. Keep prophesying. Tell them the truth. It's okay to get carried away. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray you bless your word now.